welcome to a Listen to Older Voices Golden Moments program. I'm brought to you through the Toorak Times. This is a repeat program from our archives that we believe has merit enough to rebroadcast so that the story and the person's life can be shared with those who may have missed it the first time. Hello, I'm Rob Greaves, and welcome to the third and final part of the life and times of 94-year-old Frank Foxcroft. Born in Penshurst, which is located near Hamilton, Victoria, Frank had a wonderful but quite normal childhood. His father, who had worked in and managed several grocery stores, was about to open his own store when tragedy struck, and Frank's young baby sister died, and the store never eventuated. However, because of this, Frank, who probably would have followed in his father's footsteps, chose instead to become a teacher. We learned that his first school on becoming qualified was a one-room school in Yulong. So small was the town, Frank had trouble locating it, but it was near Hamilton and therefore near his girlfriend Sheila, and he was happy to be there. Eventually marrying Sheila, they found themselves living in one-room accommodation that Frank had had as a bachelor, and it was very, very primitive. Then Frank transferred and they found themselves in the luxury of a four-roomed house attached to his new school. In this, the final part of his story, Frank talks about his community service, the effect he discovered years later that he'd had as a teacher, and we discover Frank's poetry, with a very beautiful conclusion at the end of this show. Now, we pick up toward the end of last week's show with Frank talking about how his wife Sheila went that extra mile to make the children's life at school more enjoyable. So, here's Frank. Frank, I was looking at this article on Sheila, and it says here while you were actually at Hazelwood School that she used to actually almost take the role of a welfare person. I see here she provided warm milk for the kids.
Oh, the kids brought them. It was a dairying industry, dairying country, and in the winter time, she agreed to bring their milk along, and we tipped into a. She used to heat in the kitchen, our kitchen.
Right. Well, that was a lovely thing to do.
She's a lovely person.
Yeah, obviously so. Obviously so, to be that concerned and to take that time out. And again...
She drew the line one time when one of the parents wanted her to heat up pies for the kid. Oh. If she decided to heat up pies for one kid, she'd have to heat up pies for all the rest.
So things really happened for you in terms of your involvement in communities when you came to Hillsville, though, didn't they? Both of you were very active involved in the community.
Yes, well, you can see from that she was active there. And...
But you've become very active in Hillsville, haven't you? Well, you became very active.
I wasn't that sort of person, really. But I got here and joined the Bush Nursing Hospital straight away. And a lodge, of course, that sort of thing, and ambulance. Sort of safety business. Then the Bush Nursing Hospital ran short of funds during the war, and they called a public meeting and said they only had funds for about a fortnight and they'd have to close. I opened my mouth and I said, I reckon we could get some people to collect one or two shillings a week. We could keep it going till funds became available. I knew that work because I'd been doing that when I was a young bloke, collecting money for the Methodist Babies Home. When we had our Sunday school meeting, the young fellow who was starting work, we were putting in a shilling a week or two shillings a week and sending it off with all over Victoria. They were doing that.
Yeah.
And so I got landed with another couple of people to do the job. One of them dropped out quick and lively.
What's and
the other chap and I, we carried on until the funds became available from the government. And to try to save expenses, the Bush Nursing Hospital was really a pretty crude business, but it was there. And wasn't electrically ran on wood instead of electricity, put it that way,
right.
For all the cooking, you see. So kids and I used to be able to borrow or get a driver from one of the fellas with trucks, and they'd come round and go around to the mills, and the kids and I would load up all the offcuts for the fire, cart them round, and empty it again, and that kept them going.
What I like about that, Frank, is that not only were you contributing, but you had got the kids involved too.
Yeah, you did a lot. from then on, we used to have egg appeals for Alfred Hospital, but we decided to share the egg appeal with the Hillsville Bush Nursing Hospital and things like that. That's the first thing I really got mixed up with. Then I think the next thing that really I got into, I was watching a friend of mine with his two boys who'd grown up. They were building the Scout Hall, and they were, every now and then they'd be down there working and there'd be nothing happening. And I got talking to him one day, one weekend, and I said, "When on earth are you going to finish this, Bill?" He said, "Oh, as we get some money, we do a bit more, and we run dances and all that type of thing. Queen Carnivals." I said, "Well, why don't you approach some people for the loan of the money so they can get the whole thing finished?" So I said, "I'll start off. If you put £100 in that, don't want any interest for it. Pay it back when you can." And next thing I know, they've gone around following that advice and the money was coming in. Away they went.
Terrific.
Got it finished.
Terrific.
I think the next thing I got interested in, another public meeting was called to talking about building a retirement village in Hillsville. And I had my say, and I thought it was very important they should do so, because the top of my mother and father both had, my mother had and Sheila's mother had, and getting accommodation and all the rest of it. So that got going, and after it had been going a while, I was asked, would I join in with them? Committing us right up and for years and years and years.
Mm.
Actually, I became the fundraiser after a while. The man who was running, who had been right in charge, he left Hillsville, and I was dobbed in for the job. And I bought Who's Who, went through that, picked out 1,000 people I thought might make contributions to us.
1,000?
Yeah.
That's a lot of people to contact.
And I picked them all out, and one of the women on that, Methodist minister's wife actually, she addressed all the envelopes for all those people.
Gosh.
And then in that we enclosed, we had a reply envelope, and the appeal thing, and the children and I packed those in, put them all together in our spare time and sent them out, and then money started to come in and we're getting funds built up. I also started collecting offcuts of trellis from the mill, from Pomeroy's mill around there, and that I had two trailers, and I used to leave one down there, pick it up when it was full, and leave the other one down there in its place and bring them up to the primary school here. Tripped them out into the shelter shed. Headmasters were really for it, because the kids and I used to pack them up before and after school, and then we were selling them down the line to the fuel merchants who were using them for barbecues and chip heaters. It was still running in, a lot of them were still in Melbourne. We got quite a lot of money there.
Listen to older voices. The magic of memories.
Not only are you involved in the community, but you've got the children involved in the community. And I look around me today and I don't see that sort of level of involvement anymore.
No, I don't know. I was always been brought up that if you see something needs to be done, get in and do it instead of moaning about it.
Which is the easy thing to do, isn't it? Yeah. Just to sit and moan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, one of the things I'm very proud of is actually that ramp at the men's toilet. I went in there one day, and there used to be steps up there. I went in there one day, and the man standing at the door. When I came out, he was still standing there. And I said, "Are you all right?" He said, "Yes, I'm all right, but I can't go down these steps." So I just got behind him, and I lowered him down step by step, about two or three steps, I lowered him down. Then I raced straight round to the shire office, and I said there should be a ramp there.
I bet you they wanted to hear that.
Well, I had one there in a fortnight.
They responded that quickly?
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty good. That's very unusual.
So next time you go to that toilet, think about me.
But look, again, there are so many things that they're doing, and it's so easy to walk past them and think, yeah, oh, somebody else will look after it. Mm-hmm. And you didn't do that. That was good.
Yeah. So that's the sort of thing, if I see something need to be done, I try to do it. Or get something done about it.
Yes. You must look back at all this with fondness and a feeling of satisfaction.
Yes. No, I look back on a lot of the things. I often wonder what influence I had on people. And every now and then some little thing turns up and gives you a real thrill.
Anything in particular, when you say that, did anything in particular come to mind that makes you, you know, is there
a... I went to a funeral service one day. It happened to be the father of one of the kids I taught many, many years ago. I hadn't seen him for years. And he said, oh, I am pleased you're here. He said, I always wanted to be like you.
Ah. Is there a compliment greater than that?
No.
No. No.
Get out of the blue.
Yes.
Another thing. One day, one of the teachers at the school asked me, what's this wattle? I said, I don't know. I said, but I'll find out for you. We used to go to Melbourne about every fortnight. I said, I'll go up to the herbarium. My wife was mad on gardens, and she always went to botanical gardens. So I said, we go up there and get identified. And from then on, I started the children looking for different wattles. And they walk out. I didn't want them picking a lot, just pick a little spray of it. And we made a big chart on the, every time we got one, we fixed it up on the, we pressed it and stuck it down on this chart. And then the kids started doing their own, making their own wattle books.
Excellent. Excellent.
And two things I'm going to mention. Went to another funeral one time, and this fellow, I hadn't seen him for years and years and years. Oh, how the fuck? He said, I don't know what happened to my wattle book he'd made. And his brother said, it's up on the shelf above the door into the kitchen.
Are you kidding? Still had it?
I still had it.
Gee.
And another time, I must have been retired by then, I was working up at the wood heap, and a car pulled up outside with two or three kids and a couple of, like, I don't remember the woman, but probably her mother there. And he said, oh, Mr. Fox, I said, yes, he said, you know me, I haven't a clue. Anyway, he said, well, you used to teach me, and we've just come down from the other side to Langi, collecting wattles on our way down.
Oh. Well, you're
unbelievable,
right, isn't it? And you're right, you never will know the effect you had, but though there are enough indications to know that it's, that. For those three or four people, if you multiply that out by most of the kids you knew, then you've had a huge effect on people's lives.
Yes, well, I don't know what. I know I've had some effect at a different time, but you know, those things
stay.
They just stick in my mind.
Yes.
Particularly that for the last, looking at him with those kids, the last thing I ever thought would have been that he was collecting wattles.
Of course, of course. But obviously had a huge impact on him, and he's passed on to his kids.
Yeah.
Now, Frank, you've got open in front of us both here this very large book of yours, full of your writings and your poetry. Does it come easy to you?
Sometimes it comes without any worry. You just go straight ahead and it turns out.
Yeah.
Other times, I'm trying to write something. And about three or four pages crossed out before I finished what I wanted to get the way I wanted. That wasn't a poem, something else I was working on.
Right, right.
It just didn't come naturally to me anyway.
Well, it reads like it does. So yes. Maybe that probably may be the gift, the fact that it doesn't come easy, but when you've got it, it makes it look like it is. I just wonder, Frank, before we finish up, given that you've got so many poems here, is there a particular poem that's a favourite of yours that we could have? Because you've got a poem, Frank, that music was put to it, is that right?
Yes.
What's the story?
Years ago, teacher called Phil was teaching in the same school as I, and in the room next to me. She lived in Dunkill, out of Dunkill on a farm. So we came from Hamilton. So every holiday, we would take her and leave her in Dunkeld and go on to Hamilton and pick her up on the way back. This happened for 2 or 3 years. We got on marvellously together, and she left here and went to Geelong and got married. But Sheila and I kept in touch with her for years and years and years. And then when Sheila died, she invited me to come down there for, and spend Christmas with her. I didn't do it, but it doesn't matter. But over the years, instead of birthday times and Christmas time, instead of sending her a card, I've tried to write a poem for her. And this is one I wrote on Valentine's Day, actually, several years ago. But I used to do that's the sort of thing I was doing. That's what started all this business here. And this is Valentine's Day. There are some things I'd like to do. Stroll hand in hand some time with you. I think it would be simply grand to sit close by on the sand while watching Lass, that's her dog, enjoy the sea. Such simple things would comfort me. I wrote that for her. That's going to be her Valentine's Day.
Yes.
And I thought I can do better than that. There are some things I'd like to do. Walk hand in hand some time with you. To stroll along some magic night when earth is bathed in bright moonlight. Think it would be simply grand to sit close by on the sand while watching Lass enjoy the sea. Such simple things would comfort me. Thought I could improve on that. This is what I finished up with. There are some things I'd like to do. Walk hand in hand some time with you. To stroll abroad some magic night when earth is bathed in bright moonlight. I think it would be simply grand to sit close by you on the sand while listening to the restless sea. There are two other things, I guess. A bedtime hug and a good night kiss.
Listen to older voices. Revisiting through recollections.
Now, different people have read that. That should be a song. Should be set to music.
Right.
And I can't sing anymore. But anyway, I've got a friend called Jim Aitken. He drives the school buses.
Right.
And he's got a beautiful voice. And I said, "Anything done about it, Jim?" He said, "Oh, I don't know." He said, "I'll give it a try." He had 3 tries. He's taken the lines out of there, but not as they come.
To stroll along some magic night when earth is bathed in bright moonlight. I think it would be simply grand to sit close by you on the sand. These are some things I'd like to do. Hand in hand, sometimes with you. While listening to the restless sea, such simple things would comfort me. There are 2 other things, I guess. A bedtime hug and a good night kiss. These are some things I'd like to do. Hand in hand, sometimes with you. Some simple things I'd like to do. Hand in hand, sometimes with you. Just hand in hand, sometimes with you.
I think that's really terrific, Frank. You should be very proud of that. And I believe you've got another one of your poems set to music, one about Marnie, isn't it?
I know who Marnie is. She's the one who produces those high school plays.
No, I didn't know.
Anyway, she's been a great help to me. Any time I've been sick and that sort of thing. She...
Right. Well, it's a nice way to repay. Very nice.
I wrote that many years ago. When she had long hair, she had it cut off since.
Oh, it doesn't. We'll assume it's still long tresses.
I gave it to her,
for
her birthday.
Right.
And Jim put it to made a song out of it, and I was able to present it to her birthday just recently.
That must have surprised her.
The best present I've ever had in my life.
There you go. But your poems do lead themselves to being put to music. I'm surprised. I'm actually surprised Jim hasn't pushed you for a few more poems because he has.
Oh, it's hard work. It's really hard work making the music up.
Yes, that's okay.
He's trying to work on two others, but whether he's... Are you ready for it?
Yep.
When for company I yearn, my thoughts to you so often turn. Just to see you makes my day, and depression fades away. How many of these just like me can claim a friend as good as thee? I thank you for your friendship given, that's earned your pass to enter heaven, Marnie. I love your tresses both long and fair, sometimes arranged with loving care. So here's a ribbon for your hair to match the jumper that you wear, Marnie.
Frank, I might finish up now by playing that first piece again because I find it so very evocative. And in doing so, thank you for sharing your life with us all.
To stroll along some magic night when earth is bathed in bright moonlight, I think it would be simply grand to sit close by you on the sand. These are some things I'd like to do. Hand in hand, sometimes with you. While listening to the restless sea, such simple things would comfort me. There are two other things, I guess, a better bedtime hug and a good night kiss. These are some things I'd like to do. Hand in hand, sometimes with you. Some simple things I'd like to do. Hand in hand, sometimes with you. Just hand in hand, sometimes with you.
Listen to Older Voices is produced by Rob Greaves at the Melbourne Community Support Program on behalf of Wesley Mission Victoria. The program is supported by financial assistance from the Commonwealth Government through the Commonwealth Home Support Program and is brought to you through the Toorak Times.